The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Of those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, this week I read a poem by Indian-born Canadian poet Rupi Kaur. She writes, "To hate is an easy, lazy thing. But to love takes strength. Everyone has, but not all are willing to practice." Her words have been echoing within my soul. To hate is an easy, lazy thing. But to love takes strength everyone has, but not all are willing to practice. To hate is an easy, lazy thing. And we know this to be true because just think about how much easier it is for us to be critical about somebody than it is to be compassionate. How much easier it is for us to judge someone than it is for us to truly love them. To hate is an easy, lazy thing. But to love takes strength everyone has, but not all are willing to practice. I'm going to let those words linger out there for just a little bit, and we'll come back to them. But for now, I'd like to draw your attention to the picture on the front of your worship bulletin. This photo is one that actually I took last weekend, and I was at Torrey Pines State Natural Reserve in San Diego, California. And this 1,500... acre reserve is home to rugged and unspoiled beaches, gorgeous, dramatic, carved out sandstone canyons, and also to our nation's rarest pine tree called the Torrey Pine. And if any of you have ever been there? You have, Sylvia? Anyone else? You have, Dolores? Somebody at the early service said, "Well, I've not been to the state reserve, but I've been to the golf course." Not the same. Not the same. Torrey Pines, the pine after which the preserve is named, are only found in this particular stretch of the Southern California coastline. And they're also found on Santa Rosa Island, which is just off the coast of Santa Barbara. And there's lots of theories as to how They got there, but I'm not going to go into all of that. At the turn of the century, though, due to the rapidly booming and extremely lucrative coastal development that was happening in Southern California, these pines faced extinction. They were being cleared out for building, for development, and also threatened as they were doing this development was one of the last remaining Southern California salt marshes that was a refuge for migrating seabirds. Due to the foresight of philanthropist Ellen Browning Scripps and the very careful studies of botanist Guy Fleming, for which there is a trail named in this reserve, this vulnerable area is now a magnificent reserve. And while we were there hiking the trails, many, many visitors came to see this beautiful area. Not only did you see this amazing landscape that is really etched out of the wind and then when the rains come, the erosion of the water, but we were also treated to an amazing super bloom that is happening in Southern California because of all the rains that they've been having. And there's wildflowers everywhere, out further out in the desert and all up and down the coastline. We saw a massive butterfly migration, and we were talking to the ranger, and just the day before we got there, they estimated more than 1 million butterflies passed through just that particular reserve. And while we were there, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of painted lady butterflies flitting around. We saw a moth that looked like a hummingbird. You had to really look closely to realize that's not a hummingbird, that's a moth that was pollinating the wildflowers. And we laughed as we watched a squirrel that was sitting in the midst of the orange California poppies, munching all of the blooms and blossoms. And the ranger said, "Yep, that guy's doing his job to spread those seeds all throughout the reserve." As we walked through these trails and saw if you look at this picture, you can see just how scraggly these pines are. There's like a taller pine branch that makes the top of the picture, and the bottom, what looks like brush, is also part of that tree. It grows lower to the ground. And as we were walking through this very stark landscape, you know, just that woody brush, and then the lush wildflowers, the butterflies, I couldn't help but think of all the money and effort that went into preserving this for the generations to come. I also couldn't help but think of the story about Jesus and that barren fig tree. "Cut it down," the owner of the vineyard says. "Why should it be wasting the soil?" Certainly there was many a business person who thought, "Cut it down. It's wasting this precious land that could be something better." Naturalist Hank Nichols writes about the Torrey Pines, and he says, "What is special about a Torrey Pine? It's not the rarest pine in the world. The Dalit Pine is." I think that's in India, if I remember what I read. He says, "It isn't even the rarest tree in California. That's the Monterey Cypress. The Torrey Pine doesn't grow to a great size like the redwoods. It doesn't grow to a great age like the Bristol Pine. It isn't known for its excellent lumber like the Sugar Pine. Torrey pine wood is brittle, rots easily, and doesn't even make a good fire. The Torrey pine doesn't even have the dubious distinction anymore of being endangered. So, what's special about a Torrey pine? The Torrey pines along the sea cliffs suffer from persistent drought. Their roots are growing in poor sand, which can hardly be called soil. The trees are blasted by storms and cooked in the sun. Some trees die, but the species lives stubbornly on. Some trees, like some people, develop character during hard times. That's what I think is special about the Torrey pine. Character. I give thanks that at some point someone looked at these scraggly, dare I say, maybe even little ugly, thirsty, wind-battered, weathered Torrey pines and didn't see something that was simply standing in the way of profitable urban development. But they saw something valuable, something that was worthy of being saved. They saw something beautiful. I also give tremendous thanks that our very gracious and merciful God looks upon scraggly, thirsty, wind-battered, drought-tempted, weathered you and me and sees someone valuable. Someone full of character. Someone worthy of saving. That God looks upon each one of us and sees something beautiful. Jesus says to the vineyard owner, "Sir, let the tree alone one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it, and then let's see what happens." I love this image of Jesus loading manure around us to help us grow. Because again and again and again, Jesus looks with great compassion upon those who are most vulnerable. He looks at us with the eyes of love, valuing us, not just for our potential down the road, but for who we are right now. And he's willing to do whatever it takes to help us grow into who we are as God's beloved children. As people of faith, we are most Christ-like when we look at people the way Jesus did, when we advocate for others, especially for the most vulnerable among us, when we lovingly tend to one another in those seasons of drought that come to each of us, when we compassionately support one another when those storms beat upon us, when we offer one another what we need to grow and flourish as loved children of God. To hate is an easy, lazy thing. But to love takes strength. Everyone has. But not all are willing to practice. To love takes strength. Everyone has. Everyone has this strength because God promises to be with us. We know God loves us. God forgives us. And that God gives us what we need. to love again and again and again and again. That God gives us what we need to see one another with the eyes of love and to practice this love in our lives each and every day. Amen.